KN4VWA.
KN4VWA, W4DJW.
Hey, bud, I just left up here at Campobello. Yeah, I know where I'm coming. I sure wish you'd come up here and look at this. The two fields, and I'm not talking about people, I'm just talking about the two fields. Ain't no way I'm going down there to Jordan Road. That's just no way. Plus, you can run boats up here. You can run pontoon aircraft. It's nice. It's real nice.
Do they have, like, setup tables for you to set up on? Do they have electricity for charging batteries and stuff like that?
All of the above. Check your pictures I sent you. Oh, and the 1-2% is an over-exaggeration. Y'all, look at those pictures. It's nice. It's nice.
1-2%, what? My phone is downstairs with my... one of my multi-rotors. It's got the program on it that flies it. So it's not up here with me if you sent it to my phone.
I did, so just take a look at it a little bit later. And the long and the short of it, that 1-2% grade, I thought it was a little bit downhill. No, it's not even that. The strip from left to right or left, it's pretty much flat. It's got a little drift off on the front leading edge of it on the far left end towards the road, but that's about it. And it's just high and dry.
Well, even WCRC had a little bump in the middle of the runway. It had a little rise right there in the middle, and then after you hit the middle going left to right, after you hit the middle after that bump, it kind of tapered down a little bit, and that never really bothered anybody, I don't think. Even if it was, that's not an issue. It's a little taper like that.
Well, you take a look at the pictures, bud, and I got the particulars on it. It's a little bit steep on the yearly. They're at $150 a year, but they're keeping that grass real nice.
Well, that's not that bad. I think WCRC went up to $125. So that's not that bad. I mean, it takes a lot of work. Airplanes aren't like ham radio. You got to have equipment, and you got to be out there all the time working it. How's the road going off of the road? Is that like, do they have gravel on there, or is it a dusty dirt road?
Gravel road leading down to the parking lot, and the parking lot used to be gravel, but the long and the short of it, the gravel's going away. But hey, even after this rain, it was not mud. I walked out on it. It was fine.
Was anybody out there?
John McDermott was out there, and another fellow was out there, and then there was a fellow named Daryl Henson. And then there was another guy I believe his name was John Tuck. Anyhow, you're talking to those guys, it turns out McDermott was a national pylon champion.
Yeah, I remember McDermott. He used to compete with James Barr and me over in Sevierville, Georgia.
They're flying today, along with his friend. And, I mean, they were all just as nice and as casual as they could be. And they pretty much said that there's no real club meetings. That it's just out there to have a good time, fly, follow the rules. And, it's not like, okay, now you got to come in and brush your hair to the left instead of the right and hold your right hand up and salute with your left before you can open the gate.
Well, it'd be good to know what the fuss was that caused the two to split so you don't end up on the wrong side of the split.
Well, and see, that's just it. The guy I was talking to who was the vice president, and he said that he's only been vice president for this past year, and they always get somebody else new to do it every year, and that he remembered something about that, and said that he thought part of it was the fact that some of them were trying to put a bunch of policies and a bunch of rules and a bunch of stupid stuff and have meetings and all kinds of crazy stuff in place, and it wasn't going well with all the rest of the bunch. They wanted to keep it casual, you know, safe but not structured to a point where you gotta, you know, where it takes the fun out of it.
Yeah, there is a fine compromise there. There's a fine line there. I can see how that would happen. That started happening at WCRC. In fact, that's one of the reasons I went away from WCRC after a while. Some of the guys that were there when I first joined started, you know, drifting away, and some new guys came in and they started putting in a lot of rules that, like early in the mornings I'd go to WCRC before the sun came up, and I'd be all set up, ready to go. And the sailplane pilots would be doing the same thing. They'd come and set up. And I was setting up for practicing for the fun fly competition. They were setting up for high altitude sailplane and launches, winch launches. We never got in each other's way or anything, but they'd put lounge chairs out there on the end of the runway, and they'd lay back in the lounge chair because you're looking up at, once they get those gliders launched, they're just like a little tiny dot in the sky. And they'd have their binoculars, and they'd just be laying on their backs looking straight up at them. Well, the new crew that came in over there didn't like that they were laying down in the lounge chair and tried to ban that. And they just started putting rules after rule after rule. Kind of took the fun out of it, so I can see that. W4DJW.
But I really don't have a problem, excuse me, with somebody putting that kind of rules in place. Got the dry throat all of a sudden. But, you know, if you designate a certain amount of time for those guys to be able to go out and get on the runway and do that, then they ought to be able to do that. I mean, you know, just don't eliminate them altogether. But, hey, all it is just good safety practice with some good common sense, and you can all have a good time.
Yeah, some people aren't as easygoing as others, right? Some people just have to get in there and turn the wrenches, right? I understand that. I don't like it, but I understand that there are people that are different. We all have our differences. But anyway, it sounds like that's a good club. I'm going to have to go out there, but not while we're in peak, COVID peak. Not while we're the nation's looking at us saying you guys are doing the worst in the nation.
Just stay over there in Greenville County for right now, okay?
Say again, I missed that. I was drinking some coffee.
I said, how about you just stay over there in Greenville County for right now, okay?
Well, we only go out for essentials, and then that, sometimes we go weekend, you know, two or three weekends in a row without even leaving the house. And never during the week, and hardly ever do I leave during the week. Maybe once in a great while I'll take cardboard up to O'Neill in the morning before it gets crowded, right after they open at 7 o'clock. I'll take cardboard up there to the recycling center and drop it off. We do get a lot of deliveries, though. Every day I'm bringing in boxes, and Amy says, is that our daily dose of COVID you got coming in there?
That can be just about the size of it right there. Have you got plenty of exam gloves?
Plenty of what?
Gloves. Rubber gloves.
No, I couldn't get gloves. I got everything. I got the oxygen sensor and the heartbeat thing and the temperature probe and the masks, and even the company I work for sent out masks to everybody. But I couldn't find gloves. Well, I did find some gloves. I ordered the gloves, and then they canceled them on me.
Well, anything coming in here through Amazon or FedEx or UPS, I put on a set of gloves and open it all up and wipe it down before I get down to the package. And once I get down to the package, then I'll clean that product that I ordered off real good before I take my gloves off, and then I just make sure I dispose of that stuff. Because there is no telling where it's come in from, or gone out to, or who all has handled it. And, you know, the amount of handling that those things go through, actually, great day. You know, it's just not worth it to me. So, you know, if anybody wants to call me paranoid out there, that's okay. So if you need some gloves, I've got some gloves I'll give you.
Packages. Plants it may, because I quarantine my stick them out in the, I go out and get them, stick them out in the garage, let them sit out there for 24 hours before I open them. And she's more careful than I am, but I have quarantined the mail.
There you go, Dave. Well, I'm going to jump off of here. I just wanted to let you know what I found out there, Dave, and it was quite nice, and I liked it. And it was a very relaxed atmosphere with the four of those guys that were out there. And like I said, he said there's no real club meetings. You just pay your dues once a year, and they got one guy that leases the property. And they say, you know, just as long as you follow the safety protocols out there, you never hear from him. So, hey, it sounds perfect for me, so... whenever the peak gets down and you're willing to come on out, give me a holler, Dave. So 73 is you guys. Jerry, take it easy. KN4 BWA, I'm clear.
Well, Jerry, that sounds like a good practice. I usually cut the stuff out with a razor knife and then quarantine the boxes out in the garage for weeks before I pick it up and take it to the O'Neill station. So same thing, I just get the contents out of it before I quarantine it. But that sounds good, Steve. We need to figure out if we're going to do that. Join it up. If you can do that online, or if you have to, if they don't have meetings, I guess online. I don't know. We'll have to figure out how to sign up, how to get them their money. How do you get, like, for example, they send out cards that say that you are a member. You paid your dues in case somebody comes around looking. So, you know, everybody, I'm sure everybody doesn't know everybody. W4DJW.
Well, I got the skinny on that too, bud. The guy that you pay the dues to, if you know where the briar patch is at the intersection of Mount Lebanon and Jordan Road, I believe that's Jordan Road. Yeah, at the intersection of Jordan Road and Mount Lebanon Church, he has a barbershop underneath the briar patch. And the guy said, well, you can just go by and see him there. He's there pretty much all the time, maybe half a day on Saturdays. Just go by and tell him who you are and what's going on and show him your AMA and all that good stuff, and he'll get you fixed up. So that's pretty easy, too. All right, guys. Catch y'all later. I'm clear.
It is Mount Lebanon Church Road and Goodjoin Road. And the guy's name that runs the barbershop you pay your dues to, his name is Tommy.
Right. That's it. Is this Wes?
That's a Roger. I just want to know how y'all can afford two hobbies like ham radio and RC flying.
I got me a rich honeydew. I mean, she takes good care of me.
For a while, I started out down there with the Flying Knights down at Spartanburg. Well, it was down past Camp Croft down there, a little place called Whitestone. We had a field down there. And then I flew up at Blue Ridge up there on Lake Robinson some. But the last plane I built, I took it up by a good friend of mine, William Lockhart. He took it up on a maiden voyage, and it was perfect. And he handed the controls to me, and I brought it back down over the lake, ran it into the runway, and she made a nosedive. I just took the transmitter and everything, threw it over in the trash can, and walked off.
Hurt. A lot of work went into it, too. Well, listen, I really am gone this time, you guys. K4, VWA clear. Y'all have a good one. I hope you're feeling better, Walt. Bye.
Yeah, I'm better. 7-3's there, Steve. K4, I am clear.
Catch you later, Steve. Good talking to you. We'll figure out. Maybe I'll go with you up there to the barbershop one day after the peak is out, and we'll get our dues paid. That sounds like a good field to sign up with. And it's 23 minutes from my house, which is about the same as WCRC. WCRC might be a little bit more. Anyway, catch you later. Have a good one.
Have a good afternoon. And good afternoon, Walt. M4DJC.
Good afternoon. W4DJW, before you get going, could I catch you for just a moment?
Hey, Walt, yeah, I never knew you flew out there at Lake Robinson. I used to fly out there all the time. But that's good to know.
If you stuck around for the right queue portion of the net last night, but I know you're real short-handed on net controllers. And I was talking to John, and he's coming over this week and bring the software and all, and gonna set my pewter up and get me straightened out with Echolink and everything. And I'm gonna shadow a few nets, but I'm gonna give it a try there, Dave.
Well, Walt, you are most welcome to give it a try. Every Tuesday night is available. I call it just because I'm filling in. That's what Karen used to call it, and she had radio trouble and never really got it fixed. So once you shadow enough nets and you feel like you want to give it a go, let me know, and we'll give you some Tuesday nights, as much as you want or as little as you want, whatever you get comfortable with.
Condition, my daughter leaves to go to work at 5:30 in the morning, and I usually come down here at the shack about 7 o'clock and put me on a pot of coffee and drink about half a pot. Then I'll fix me some breakfast and I watch my 4-year-old grandson while she's at work. I'll fix his breakfast and all, and I'm down here in the shack till just about the time I get up in the morning till 10, 11 o'clock at night, sometimes later than that if anything's on HL, so I've got nothing else to do.
Well, that sounds good. We'll put you to work. We do. You're right. You're absolutely right. We do need more net controllers, and we're about to lose a really good one. John's going to head off up to Greensboro, North Carolina, which is a little bit too far away to be able to reach this repeater from there, so we are going to, all Friday nights are going to be open, and Tuesday nights are going to be open, and we got some Monday nights, like the first Monday of the month and the last two Mondays, or last, the third, after the third Monday is open as well. So we got positions.
You're like John's men. I know there's a lot of nights that for some reason or the other, the controller can't be on that night, and he just grabs it and takes off with it. And I could, once I get the hang of it, I can be pretty well the same as John is.
Well, we do appreciate that very much, Walt. Really do.
Last night I said, once he gets over here and gets everything programmed with the software and all, maybe he can help me figure out this FT450 I got. I love working CW, and this radio, I bought it from a friend of mine out in Indiana. He had bought it for his grandson for his birthday, and his grandson came over on his birthday, tickled to death, said, "Papa, you know what my mom and dad bought me for Christmas? For his birthday, they had bought him a new ICOM 7300. So Jim had this thing boxed up for over 2 years. It's got the signal link with all the connectors and all of that to it. Got the automatic antenna tuner in it. It still had the plastic covering over the screen on the thing. And when I got it, I hooked my paddle up to it. and it worked perfect. And then I was going to explore the menus, and somehow I went in there. I know how to cut the gear on, but it's not transmitting using my paddle, but I've got the MD-100 desk mic with it, and the up and down frequency control, you can go into the menu and program to use that for your paddle, and that is so aggravating. I got to get it back where I can use my paddle.
W4DJW. Yeah, once you get used to it, like I got used to the TS2000s and then picked up ICOM 7000, and it's a very nice radio, but once I wore the ears out, the corners of the manual on the TS2000, they were dog-eared. The thing would just, it looked like a flower. It's just fluffed up on the ends where I just went back and forth and back and forth through the pages figuring out how a TS2000 works from front to back. Just wore out that manual. Then I got another one with a brand new manual. So I had a second manual. So I put that one away so I wouldn't wear it out. But yeah, once you do that, you go through all that work, you figure out how one works, and then you get another radio. It is kind of frustrating to have to go back and learn another one like that. That's a lot of work. W4DJW.
The wrong one that had the manuals in it. Probably the newest radio I had before I got this one was that Kenwood TS-440. And man, I love that thing. I wish to God I'd never got rid of it. But I get good signal reports on sideband with it and all. It's just I missed the CW part.
Well, go ahead, pick it up, Jerry. I got batteries over here squawking at me, telling me they finished charging. I got to go look at them. W4DJW.
Okay, Dave. Well, did you try to just do a reset on that 450? I'm not that familiar with I've had a few Kenwoods, but I'm not that familiar with the 450. I know it's a real nice radio.
Put it back to factory reset, or factory default, and for some reason, my paddle still don't work on it. And I tried to my straight key, I wired it because it's got the stereo plug to go in it for the paddle, and I had to change the jack on the straight key, and it don't transmit going through the key jack.
Don't sound like something, whatever it is, it's universal. It's a straight key. I mean, with one key, we're going to go with two anyway, I think. I mean, it's just switching off and on at a little different rate. But if it's like a bass or any other kind of iambic paddling, I would think it would work just fine. But that sounds odd. They're subsetting it. These things have got some, like David said, these radios have got so many menus in them, you got to go deeper and deeper. The Kenwood is generally pretty good. The Icon's a little harder to decipher sometimes. And the Yeezys are, some of the Yeezys are okay. I started programming those back in the 90s, and some of them is about the same now as it was then, but the Yeezys, they get so complicated, you just can't figure out how to do anything with them sometimes.
Yeezy 450, I think it had 36 menus you could go into, and it had an extended menu. And when you go into it, you've got about 100 or a little more than 100 menus in there. That's where I went to when I cut the key jack off, evidently.
Thinking about it, yeah, the 450 is a SEAZ. I remember those radios when they came out. It's a neat little radio. It's not very big, but it's a good-looking radio. I remember the last Hamfest I was at. I guess it was Lawrenceville Hamfest. It's been quite a few years ago. I remember those had just come out, I guess. But Yaesu menus can get real complicated. ICOMs ain't a whole lot better, but Yaesu's are probably the most complex of any of them. At least that's been my experience. it's just hard to dig down to the right one. I'll have to look online at one of those manuals, maybe, and kind of dig around a little bit and see if I can find out anything. If I do, I'll get in touch with you. But not having, you know, having it in front of you is a lot different than looking at it in the manual.
Even that to try to figure out how to hook a signal link up into my computer. Now, this is when the thing went crazy and quit transmitting to the keyer. I hooked a signal link up into my computer, and I turned around, I looked at the radio, and that thing started transmitting CW at about 45 words per minute, and I had to cut the radio off to stop it from transmitting, and I unhooked the signal link, and it ain't transmitted through the keyer since.
Like it's, well, that signal link, I'm not that familiar with those. That sounds almost like it's just something, there must be some setting that thing does when you hook it up to that signal link that may be the cause of that, because that doesn't, it ought to just revert back to what it was. But once it does, you know, if it has any firmware or anything, it changes in it, or I know, like, if you hook up a radio to a computer, at least something I do, and it, you use a USB port on it, sometimes it's serial and sometimes it's not. And the baud rates are different for some radios. It's just a mess. That's going to take some head scratching, I think.
This radio now about 3 or 4 months, and Jim told me that after his grandson got that 7300, he just boxed it back up. He said, "Walt, this thing ain't got 2 hours on it." And I love the receive and everything. It's a really a great radio. It's just that I miss CW.
I used to know a guy at JZ, but I think he's retired now. One of the technicians, but you know, that's more of a software issue there. But there are couple people, you know, that may be able to help out, but since you're doing the signal link to you, it's probably something to do with the way that those two things communicate with each other, I would imagine, especially if it didn't do it, it was doing fine until you hooked it up. That kind of says that's what's going on, but how to get it back to normal again is just a guess on my part.
Got all the connecting cables to interface it into my computer where I can control the radio over my computer. They say that's a whole lot easier, but I done messed up enough. I'm not even going to go there. I can get somebody to help that knows what they're doing to do that for me.
Yeah, controllers on a Yaesu shortwave radio I had. I think it was a 7700 or something. It was a nice radio, and it was one of the last ones they had that was had a real good receiver. It had a cat control with it, and I remember they had it set up. It used to be a ham radio shop in Rock Hill called Gizmo. It was run by a guy by the name of Lane Tarleton. Lane passed away some years ago. His call was KC4CD, and they had one hooked up there to an IBM PC. And man, that was a sweet setup. That's been a long, long time ago. But the new stuff is, even though I've had a lot of experience dealing with it, it's still complicated even for me. I have to go back to basics sometimes to figure out what I did wrong.
With the old radios a little bit, I love the old boat anchors. I've got a SX-99 here behind me that I'm waiting on a recap kit to get here. I'm fixing the recap it, and I've got another real old one in there, the SX-111. I've got it. I've recapped it, and it's ready to go. I just got to get the cabinet sandblasted and painted. Well, my grandson come in here hollering, he's hungry. I'm going to have to say 7-3s there, so I'll be clear on your final. K4OIL, be clear.
Okay, well, have a good evening. Better feed that youngin', N4DJC.